Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
So for me, the best place, a lot of people say the best place to start in the Bible is the Gospel of John, but and we've done that. I've taught through the entire Gospel of John. All those teachings are online on our website. You could watch, you know, a sermon on every single chapter in the Gospel of John. It's all there. It's all free, audio, video. But honestly, the place that I have gone to most frequently over the course of my life, when I've needed strength, when I've needed comfort, when I've needed direction, when I've needed to have my heart stirred afresh, is the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is going to be our subject matter for this summer. And I've been thinking about this literally for months, and you're going to know how I know. I've got these pictures ready and so on. So I started thinking about, well, but there's different kinds of Psalms, and we're not going to be able to cover every different kind, but there are different kinds of Psalms. And I divided it into four categories. The first kind of Psalm is a Psalm of balm, I would call it. And a psalm that brings balm is like a healing ointment that you would put on a place where you're, what's that stuff, Kathy, in the tube that we put on? What? Yeah, Neosporin or something like that. The psalms can be like a balm. If you're hurting, if you've been wounded, if you've been mistreated, if you've been maligned, all of those things happen to the authors of the psalms. And the psalms is not some airbrushed photo. The Psalms is the outpouring of a person's heart before God in whatever particular situation they're in. Now, there's about 150 Psalms, and they vary in length, they vary in theme. David wrote, I think, 73 of them he's named. It's believed that he wrote other ones but didn't write his name over them. They were written over a period of about 1,000 years, and there was other people like Asaph, and Solomon wrote two. Asaph wrote 12, Moses wrote one, and these were songs or prayers that were used in worship during the Old Testament time. They're verses of worship. They're quite poetic. The problem is poetry doesn't transfer, and I'll say some things about that, but if a poem was written in Hebrew, by the time it gets to English, it's not poetic anymore. But it's still, the language is beautiful, but the rhyming or the various acronistic schemes or whatever is missing in our English Bible. But I am sure that I could not, even under the power of the Holy Spirit, I could not give to you right now an accurate description of the gift that is in front of you. If you would take to heart the counsel that the book of Psalms will feed your soul. If you would just gaze personally upon yourself for a moment right now, intuitively you know that you are more than just a physical being. You're not just flesh and bones. There's another part of you, and the Bible calls that part of you the soul. And the book of Psalms is a soul book. It's a book of writings where the author is reflecting upon his circumstances, reflecting upon himself, reflecting upon the Creator, and trying to make sense of things that don't make sense. Now, we're blessed to have three houses. One of them you guys tried to burn down this week. The other two, we still have. But in those houses, and honestly, in the congregation that we have, people around the world and people we've been blessed to know through the decades, I've never met the person that hasn't spent significant time wrestling with what happened to me. And where is all this going? And am I going to be okay? And what about the people I love? And when it seems like everything is kind of coming loose or breaking down, what can I actually count on? And so those are the questions that the psalmist is trying to answer. Now, so there's going to be four kinds of psalms in this study, and this is always the worst because I remember as a preacher, when you have to introduce the series, which is the Psalms, and the individual message, which I'll get to in just a minute, it takes a while to get to it. But four kinds of Psalms. The first one was a Psalm of Balm. But then I got thinking about that. It's hard to get healing when your mental health is struggling, when your mind's in a thousand places. And so there's a second kind of psalm, and we're going to go through some of those. Sometimes these themes interplay through one psalm. Sometimes a whole psalm is a psalm of balm or healing, or secondly, a psalm of calm, which is, it just breathes peace. We've all had the experience of having our heart like a tornado, and then somebody shows up with a fan, right? Just making everything go faster. And we have to be careful as friends that we don't counsel to someone else's flesh. You have to be willing to say the thing that maybe is a little harder to hear or more difficult to get to. But there's psalms of balm and there's psalms of calm. Well, now I was feeling pretty smart, right? So I was like, well, how many people remember the story of Palm Sunday, where Jesus was riding on a donkey into Jerusalem and the people came out and they were shouting, Hosanna in the highest, which Hosanna means the Lord saves. And they thought Jesus was going to be a political ruler. And so they laid palm branches down in front of him. And every time I see a palm tree or think of palms, I think of praise. And so, because I had to keep my rhyming scheme going, someone say clever. There's palm psalms. Come on now. I'm forgetting. There's balm psalms for healing, and there's calm psalms for peace, and there's palm psalms for praise. And there's a lot of them. Songs are just about praising the Lord. And something beautiful happens when I begin to sing praise to the Lord. You say, well, I don't have the words. Read the book of Psalms. Read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Stand before his presence with singing. You know, it's beautiful what's there. So we're going to go through some palm psalms. And then because I needed four, I went with alm psalms. And these are psalms about giving, God giving to us, us giving to others. A friend of mine in college was a real comedian, and he had to preach at a class in Bible college. And he had to preach on Acts chapter 4, where the lame man gets healed. And so he called the title of his sermon, The Man, because he was out there begging for alms. They were gifts that they would give him. And he called his sermon, The Man Who Asked for Alms and Got Legs. Because the apostles came along and healed him. That's pretty good, right?
That is good.
Not bad, right? He asked for alms and got legs. That's funny. My head exists in a universe where that's funny, is what I'll say. So let's go back through them. Here they are. Palm psalms about praise, balm psalms about healing, calm psalms about peace, and alm psalms about giving or charity. The old word for love. And today we're going to begin. And this will take us a couple of weeks. We're not going to do it all at once because the sermon today, in case you're getting nervous back there, Fred, the sermon today is about five words. That's it. When the five words are done, we're done. Which, if you've listened to me preach at all, you know that has no relationship to the time. You may have thought I just told you something, but I really didn't. I wanted to start because my whole heart in this is for you and those who listen, to get a new or a renewed appreciation for God's word. God's word has satisfied the souls of people from every country, tribe, tongue, and nation through every century, all right? It would be exceedingly arrogant to think there's nothing in there for me. And the Bible yields its message to any open-hearted person who would read it. You can take these Bibles here that are here, you can take them home, and you can make it yours, put your name in the front of it. You can keep it by your nightstand. You can read a psalm. I'm going to go even further than that. And there's going to be we're going to study the first, the most famous psalm. Anybody know what the most famous psalm is?
23rd
psalm. That's what we're going to study. And tonight we're going to study the first five words. It's going to take us a couple of weeks to do it. But anyone who can come back here in our homes, or anyone really, with Psalm 23 memorized, I will, out of my personal bank account, give you a one crisp $100 bill. If you can memorize it, you gotta have it right though. You can't be stumbling through it. There's not gonna be any hints. You're not gonna be forgetting some of the words. But if you really memorize the 23rd Psalm, I'd love to give you a gift and encourage you. I promise you that will pay you a lot more than that over the course of your life, knowing those words. Is there any, now I gotta check ahead of time though. Is anyone here already know the 23rd Psalm by heart? You're out of the contest, Carla. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Wally World, you're out. First name again? Hey, brother, you're out. I'll give you a different challenge. Anybody else? How about I almost know it perfect? Maria, you're out. Fred, you're out. I'll come up with a different challenge for you guys. But Psalm 23, if you haven't opened a Bible yet, I'd love it if you'd open it now to Psalm 23. And by putting your eyes on God's word, you're showing respect for the speaker and respect, more importantly, for God himself. This is God's holy word that we're opening. Someone say amen.
Amen.
What if you can't see?
If you can't see it? Is the print too small?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get you a different Bible. No problem at all, Mike. And it's the one he can't see. It's too small. Oh, that's bigger. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that need was met somewhat quickly. That was really quickly. All right. So we're ready to get into this now. And this psalm is so universally celebrated that believers and non-believers, in fact, Kathy, am I right in remembering? My wife, Kathy, didn't come to know Christ until she was 15 years old. But didn't you memorize this as a child in elementary school?
Yes, fourth grade.
Fourth grade, unbelievable.
A bunch of heathens,
somehow. There was some God-loving teacher in that school, and it's brief. It's only six verses. That's really interesting. Imagine a person who's been on a long, long journey, and they're winded and tired and starving, and they see a light in the distance, and they find a cabin with a fire burning and a stew cooking and welcoming people who offer them a chair at a table. That's what the 23rd Psalm is like. I'm going to read it right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Notice how it's getting more personal, right? When he's saying he's talking about the Lord. But as he goes through it, it gets so personal. Now he's talking to the Lord. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Last word?
Forever.
All right, so we're going to dig into the first five words here, maybe not in chronological order or order as they're there, but five words. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it together. Come on, say it. The Lord is my shepherd. All right. Let's start with this. I'm going to get this phrase out of the way first. I shall not want. I shall not want. I mean, think of it. What a promise. I shall not want. Want what? Any suggestions? I shall not want what?
Anything else with the Lord?
Okay. That's a strong, I'd say, to quite strong answer. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Any other suggestions? I shall not want what?
Because everything's provided.
What, Mike?
Anything.
I shall not want anything.
Everything's provided for you.
Anyone else? Well, I'm going to break it down a little bit. I shall not want, here's the first word, supply. So I'm not going to run out. This is, by the way, not an isolated promise. One of the things you understand as you study scripture, and this is one of the things that's really impacted my life, is that the Bible is 66 books written over more than 1,000 years, more like 1,500 years, by 46 different authors. Now, you can't get three people on a street corner to agree, right? How is it possible that 46 people over 1,500 years wrote 66 different books? Perfect agreement. Perfect agreement. Okay? People who say the Bible's full of contradictions don't know what they're talking about. Okay, just don't know what they're talking about. Bring those to me anytime. Bring them anytime. It's fun. I will dismantle them quickly. Okay? The Bible is perfect. It is perfect in all that it asserts. And so when the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," we should expect that because the Bible is a unity and ultimately we have it by the Holy Spirit, we should expect then that other places in the Bible will say the same thing. So let me give you some examples of that. For this is Psalm 84. I've always loved this verse. "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor." Here it is. "I shall not want. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Person who's trying to do what's right, trying to do what's best, trying and failing and trying again in the grace of the Lord. "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I shall not want." Next verse. Psalm 34:9. I'm not going to run all over the Bible. I could show you this, how God provides in a lot of places, but I'm just going to use this scripture. I'm not going to use the third one. I just want to show you things in the Psalms. "Fear the Lord, you his saints. Those who fear him have no," what's it say? "Have no lack from those who walk uprightly." And that's an incredible scripture. And so common throughout the Bible is this assertion that God takes care of his own. And but what is my need? What is my need? I guess that's the question. Now, some people distort this text and they try to say, "I shall not want money. I'll have all the money that I need all the time." Hand up if you have found that to be not true. Okay. What it's saying is that you will not want things that you have to have. And if you're still on the treadmill of thinking that money is the answer to everything, I hope that you'll get to the end of that soon. All right? The Apostle Paul said, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to suffer need." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can have a lot, I can have a little. I can be happy with much, I can be happy with nothing, because happiness is not found." Jesus said, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." And if you have a little less than other people, in your house, on your street, in your extended family, that is a nothing. If you came in here thinking that you're less because you don't have a car right now, or you're less because you don't have your own home right now, you're not less. You're not less. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. And when David wrote Psalm 23 and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he was not saying that you wouldn't have lean times. If that's clear, say clear. All right. And some people say that it means health, that if you're having health problems, I mean, candidly, one of the reasons why I wasn't here for the last couple of weeks like I wanted to be is I got kind of a bad report from my doctor about one of the valves in my heart, and I don't think I'm going to have surgery, as it turns out, but I was told to be very calm until I, you know, saw the doctor, and I'm not calm right now at all. I'm fired up to try to see this message registering in your minds as we go through it. And so, no, it doesn't promise health. Even the Apostle Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh that he begged God to take away, but he had to live with it. I mean, Chappie, really one of the best people I've ever known. Anyone agree with that? Come on. It's true. And the what this guy puts out for people And I'm really proud of him and I respect him, but he has some health concerns that he lives with. And that's not what I shall not want means. It doesn't mean money. It doesn't mean health. And it does mean happiness in the right sense of the word, but it doesn't mean happiness in the wrong sense of the word. And biblically speaking, happiness is independent of circumstance. It's what you know. It's what you hold on to. It's not like, oh, we're going to have really fun on Friday night. We're going over to my buddies. We're going to have brats on the grill. I'm looking forward to that. You can invite me anytime you want, Eddie. But the jubilation that we might feel watching a great game or hanging out together like we'll do tonight afterward, that's not what happiness is. Okay? The Bible doesn't promise circumstantial elation, but it does promise deep-seated joy and contentment. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not want what? One, the basic needs of life are met. The basic needs of life are met. What are the basic needs of life? Call it out for me.
Shelter.
Shelter, thank you. Got a roof over your head, Wally?
Amen.
Okay, the basic needs of life.
Food, water.
Clothes in this climate. Relationship,
yeah.
Some level of relationship. You can't be alone. But I think there's something even better here. And I shall not want, and I have to tell you before I say this, I really, really love the truth that I'm about to share with you right now. It means so much to me. And here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want another shepherd.
Amen.
I have the Lord. Who else would you want? Who else would you choose other than the Lord himself? I wrote this down. The expert care of my master Jesus is all that I desire, and I am completely content with his management of my life. I have often wandered from the path that he lays out and felt the sting of willfully choosing what he forbids. But I have never followed in the path that he prescribes and not experienced in increasing measure the joy that he says goes with it. Now that's a legitimate guide, y'all. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want a lot of things. My basic needs will be met, but I most of all shall not want. Y'all know that we've been through some tough times and they've been honestly getting better and better and better. We've won another seven-figure check sent to us. Because liars didn't want to show up in court and prove that what they were saying was true. All they had to do was show up and prove it. Now we'll pass another seven-figure check that we can use to support ourselves and to support this ministry and to stand by what we're called to do. The entire check was signed over to Miss Sharon over here and right into the bank and onward in serving the Lord. The pizza's on us tonight. Trust me on that. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I praise God for that. I shall not want supply. Here's another thing. I shall not want self-control. So not just I shall not want a particular thing, but this is awesome. You don't get this for free. You don't get this without thinking about it. The wanting that plagues every human heart is defeated by following this shepherd. I don't want anything. I don't need anything other than the Lord to be happy. I'm not wanting. What do you want? I don't want anything. Hey, let me get you what you want. What do you want? Nothing. I don't have to have that person. I don't have to have that place. I don't have to have that pattern. I'm walking in sobriety. I'm connected to my Creator. There are things that I hope to see happen and relationships that I want to heal. Amen. But I don't have to have anything. And that used to be my problem, was I had to have it. And I would, I'm trying to share our testimony here, but I relate to this too. I had to have something. And then when I started losing it, I started choking it. And then when I didn't get what I wanted, I went back to my addiction because I couldn't deal with the fact that I wasn't getting what I wanted. And in the Lord, the dragon of wanting has been slain. I don't think that happiness or joy comes from a particular possession or a particular something. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, funny story about this. I'm kind of known for this story, but it was crazy at the time. This is a picture of our three children. This is Luke, Landon, and Abby. Luke's a pastor in Palatine. Hands up if you've been to his church. Great, great. Congratulations. Good for you on that. And then this is Landon. He's the pastor of a church in Arizona. And then this is our daughter, Abby. She can do no wrong. I sent her this week a shirt that I want for Father's Day. It says, "You're not my daughter. I don't have to do what you say." So she can... I always pick up the phone when she calls. I've been in my life, not lately, but I was in some pretty important meetings with some people that you don't interrupt. I always picked up for my daughter. I love her. But this story is actually about Landon, our second born. And I don't know how I got tricked into this, but I used to be pretty good friends with my dentist in Arlington Heights. And he attended our church. And he said to me one day, "Hey, Monday's a holiday," like this weekend. He said, "Monday's a holiday. Would you like to go ice fishing?" Man, that was like the worst invitation I'd ever received, but I couldn't see it at the time. It seemed like different, a little interesting. So we got up and we drove up into Wisconsin. It started snowing. It was already brutal. I don't mind being hot. It's a little hot in here right now, but I hate being cold. And we got onto this place. Anybody here ever been ice fishing? That's not so great, really. And we go out into this pond, and there's like a little tent set up, and you sit on a stool or a chair. There's a hole that was already drilled, and we put a line down into the water. I know how to fish, and I mean, nothing else happened. And your neck gets sore from looking down the dang hole. Just looking at nothing. You just see in your lure, the water was only 3 feet deep under the ice where we were. A couple of times I saw a fish swim by, like in slow motion almost, and it was like even rubbing up against the bait. Like I don't know if it was laughing. I don't know what it was. It was awful, terrible. So bad that my son Landon, who was probably 11, 10 or 11 at the time, he said, "Dad, can we just sit closer? I'm cold." So I thought, yeah, that's why I'm here. Pull my son over closer to me and pulled him right up to me. Well, I had on one of those pullover poncho type, like what you're wearing, but where you just pull it over your head, you know, and had one of those pouches in the front. I'm pulling Landon over closer to me. The poncho opens up. The keys to my car were in the front of my poncho. And you know, when your whole life's going, slows down to slow motion, right? The keys come out of the poncho, spinning through the air. And I was like, no. Where'd they go? Right down the hole. Now we could see them down there, but I understood more accurately the unlikelihood of us ever catching a fish, because I mean, it took us best part of an hour to catch the keys. Just finally get the keys out of here. And we felt like we were going home winners at that point. And it was just, I said to the dentist on the way home, "Next time I'll just have a root canal." And that's the story that I tell to illustrate. I bet you can think of times in your life where you went out of your way to do something that you wouldn't typically do, to experience something that you wouldn't typically experience, and hoping that that would be, you know, an enhancement to your experience. Anybody with me on that? And that's a funny example, but how often those efforts to experience something The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The picture here is of the sheep on the hillside, not looking for a hole in the fence, not gazing at other pastures, not wanting anything. So I shall not want supply, I shall not want self-control, I'm not wanting. And then this is beautiful. It's also a picture of security. Think of the five words. Which of the five words are an indication that the promise is secure? No. I'm pitching shall. Shall. If I said to you, I shall be there Saturday night, how likely is that?
Likely,
right? Not might, not maybe, not hope so. I shall not want. And this is a beautiful, spirit-inspired word. I shall not want. Not may, not might, not could, not should. Confidence. Not a temporary fix, not a fad or a phase. This is for real. This is for good. This is going to get better over the rest of my life. As I move out of believing that other things could make me happy and into the life of following the Lord, I'm following the Lord. He's the shepherd. I'm the what?
Sheep.
The sheep. I want to point out something. Over 70 times in the scriptures, the Lord is referred to as a shepherd. We are referred to as sheep. I want you to notice something. What do you call a person who sits out in the chicken coop and oversees the chickens 24/7? What do you call it? What do you call better question? What do you call a person who sits in the field with the beef cattle and just stays there and watches them and takes care of them 24/7? What do you call that person? Incorrect. Incorrect. There's no name for it because there's no such thing. Only sheep are so, dumb that they need a shepherd. Okay? Beef cattle are Einstein compared to sheep. Sheep are really, really dumb. Did anyone see the social media that was circulating a while ago? I wish I'd brought it. I'll bring it next week. But it's of a guy who goes in a field down into a crevice, and it's very hard to reach. And he finally gets hold of this sheep, and he pulls it out and lifts it up. And what does it do? Who saw it? It runs right around and goes right back in the thing again. The reason why I'm going over that is because I want to talk for just a moment about my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. First of all, notice, as just described, we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. I would suggest to you that a lot of the pain that you've experienced in your life is the result of not knowing or knowing but not following the shepherd. If you look back over the decisions you most wish you could redo, which of those decisions would the shepherd Jesus Christ have advised you to go ahead with? We need a shepherd. We're prone to follow. You see that, right? We're prone to follow. We see that in our houses. I've seen that through the years in leading men. Most men are looking for someone to look up to, someone to follow, someone to pattern themselves afterwards. And then also we're stubborn. We're just stubborn. I mean, it's unbelievable that people are still trying alcohol as a way to solve their problems. How many people think that's kind of surprising? We haven't got that figured out yet, right? Well, nobody's really debating whether it does help or not. It just helps momentarily, but it destroys everything else in the momentary relief, true or false?
True.
Very true. Very true. So we need a shepherd, and then this. We have a shepherd.
Our shepherd's name is Jesus Christ. But here in the text, David says that he's the Lord. I'll get to that in a moment. Our shepherd leads us. Jesus doesn't ask us to go through anything that he hasn't already gone through. Jesus doesn't ask us to suffer more than he suffered. He doesn't ask us to be falsely accused or ridiculed or beaten more than that happened to him. A lot of us have been through hard times. But if we said, let's have the person who suffered the most stand up and speak, and Jesus Christ was sitting here among us, I don't think anyone would stand up. So he leads us. He feeds us. Have you ever seen one of those westerns where the cowboys are trying to run the sheep herders off the range? Remember, like even in Yellowstone, this is happening. The recent show where they're hating on all the sheep herders. They're disgusting. They're filthy. They hate them. Do you know why? Because sheep eat so fast that they pull the grass up by the roots. They eat the future of the grazing pasture. They destroy it by the way that they eat it. That's why they got to go so far. That's why they got to have somebody with them. That's why they're not always fenced in like cows who just clip it off at the top and we wait for it to grow again. And so he leads us, he feeds us. Sheep always need fresh pasture. Incredible energy goes into creating fresh food for sheep. And I'm suggesting to you that the Bible is God's word and that the Bible is the fresh food that God has provided for his sheep. And then lastly, he protects us. Sheep have many enemies, insects, disease, famine, and thieves. And so we need a shepherd. We have a shepherd. Now this word, my. All that I've said, and I'm getting close to closing. All that I've said is of no value to you yet if you can't say from your heart, my. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord is not your shepherd because you were born into this world. And the Lord is not your shepherd because your mom used to take you to church. The Lord's not your shepherd because you know some of the words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is your shepherd because you've made the choice that we all must make at some point to turn from your sin and embrace Jesus Christ by faith for your forgiveness. It's not a disease and you can't catch it, okay? It's a personal decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you, can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Jesus Christ says this. He says in John 6:31, he who comes to me, I will under no circumstances send away. And then he says this, Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. So there's the question right there. Have you opened the door of your life to Jesus Christ? Have you invited him to come in and become your personal shepherd? Because he is the Lord. That word, the Lord, I'll talk more about that next time we're together. Our time is gone. But the Lord is my shepherd. In your Bible, you'll notice that those letters, let me look at yours, those letters are capitalized. You see how it's kind of weird? All the others has upper and lower case. Yes. But the Lord is capitalized. Yes. And what that means is, L-O-R-D capitalized, that's the word that was so sacred to the Jewish people, they wouldn't even say it out loud. How many people have heard the term Jehovah? You heard the term Jehovah? That's not even a real thing. Jehovah is a word that was made up by taking Y-H-W-H and guessing what the vowels would be, okay? Now people guess that the vowels should be this. Yahweh is probably closer than Jehovah. It doesn't matter that much. If you see this in your Bible, L-O-R-D, that's talking about the rightful ruler. Jesus Christ is Lord.
But when you see capital O-R-D in your Bible, that's this. Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, God's covenant name. The Lord doesn't just want to be some guy over on the hill with a cane to you. He wants to be your shepherd, yours personally. And that's why he gives his personal name. His name is the Lord. His name is the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. There it is. And next week, God willing, we're going to get a lot more deeply into the great, great things. I just can't wait to see the look on your face when you find out what it means. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others, more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. Check out jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.